email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551ray@rte.ie. Henry Winkler, known for his iconic role in The Fonz in Happy Days, celebrates, believe it or not, 50 years of his remarkable Hollywood career. And he's bringing his show, Henry Winkler, The Fonz and Beyond, to the National Concert Hall on June 12th. And Henry is on the line now. Hello, Henry.
Oh, my God, Ray. How are you?
Well, I'm all the better speaking to you.
Thank you.
I can't believe I'm speaking to Henry Winkler. Huge fan. So this is a real privilege because I grew up in the 70s. So you were part of my childhood. Teenage years.
You know what? I didn't know what else to get you. I'm sitting here dreaming about soda bread.
Do you know what it is? I make a lovely fruit soda bread, Henry.
You do?
Yeah, it's delicious. Not too hot.
I'm crazy about you.
Well, I tell you what.
I'm crazy about you, but I would rather have the soda bread without the fruit.
Oh, would you? Right. Okay. Well, we'll see what we can do. I might deliver some soda bread, homemade soda bread to you.
Oh, my God. And butter?
Yeah, butter.
Good Irish butter?
Yeah.
I've waited. I think I was there maybe 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I have waited all this time because you cannot find good soda bread in America.
Well, it's the ingredients, Henry, isn't it? Because they're all obviously Irish-made ingredients. And it's a very simple but delicious bread. And I tell you what, here's the deal. 12th of June, no, sorry, I'm out of the country. I would have made it for you and delivered it to the National Concert Hall. I'm in Spain.
You are. Well, you know what? You could send me olives.
I'll send you olives instead, yeah. When you come to...
I'll have it as a side dish.
Yeah, with the soda bread. Okay. And I love the fact that you're going on the road as yourself, talking about yourself. Is there a questions and answers part of the show?
That is my favorite part of the evening. When there are two microphones set up, and they come and they ask their questions, and I walk from one side of the stage to the other, find out who they are, and we have a wonderful time together.
I know you've brought this tour to New Zealand, so what sort of questions are people asking you?
Do you know they ask me the same questions all over the world? They ask me what it was like to work with Sylvester Stallone.
Mm.
They ask me what my favorite concert is. Mm. You know, I'm still hoping to meet Louis Capaldi.
You know, his uncle is an actor, Peter Capaldi.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I don't care about Peter, but I love Louis. Louis sings like an angel.
Just on music, I know you've been to see U2 in Las Vegas at Sphere. How was that?
Oh, my God. It was amazing. Now, I couldn't go backstage to meet them. But in the box next to me was the Vice President of the United States. So I hugged her, but I never met The Edge or Bono.
But you're a big fan of his daughter's work.
Oh, I love Eve. Eve gave me, with Sharon Horgan, gave me an award. They were the ones who called my name.
Mm-hmm.
And all I kept saying was, I just got this award from the Bad Sisters. I just got this award from the Bad Sisters. Eve was magnificent in it, and I have a crush on Sharon.
Yeah, some woman. Two great Irish women. Henry, 50 years in the business. And you've done so much. I'm just looking at, like, you were in Rhoda, you were in Mary Tyler Moore, you voiced on The Simpsons.
Mary Tyler Moore was my first job.
Was it?
In Hollywood.
Before Happy Days?
A week before.
Now, we were big fans of Mary Tyler Moore in our house. For 6 points, what was the name of the doorman?
Carlton.
Very good, very good. Yeah. It's mad that
I remember that.
Yeah. So that predated Happy Days.
It did. I arrived on September 18th, 1973, 2:45 in the afternoon, landed Terra Firma, Los Angeles. That week, I went to audition for the Mary Tyler Moore Show. I had 6 lines. I got it. I ad-libbed it to 8 lines. And the very next week, I went to audition for a brand new show at Paramount Studios I had six lines, and I got it.
And that was Happy Days, and you were the Fonz.
It turned out to be Happy Days, and then I got a few more lines.
Right. Well, and originally, the Fonz was a sort of a smaller role, was it? A smaller character in
Happy
Days.
Yes, I was seventh on the call sheet. So your importance is where you are on the call sheet, the sheet that goes out every day when you're supposed to report to work. And Ron Howard, of course, was number one. I think Tom Bosley was number two. I was number seven.
And then you worked your way up the call sheet.
Number two.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. I never surpassed Ron.
Yeah, and of course, Ron went on to be an amazing movie producer and still is.
$1 billion director.
Wow. When did you realize that what you were doing for a living was changing your life forever in an unbelievable way?
When it came on in 1974, after a few episodes, I went like a normal person to the supermarket, and people wanted to take off my socks without ever taking off my shoes.
You knew there was something
and
going on then.
I realized. Then I went to Little Rock, Arkansas. That was my first paying gig from the show. I was asked to come and sign autographs in a mall by the newspaper in Little Rock, Arkansas. And when I landed at about 12 o'clock at night, there were 3,000 people, fans, waiting at the airport in poodle skirts. And I thought, oh, I guess they must be watching.
They were, yeah, and there are millions and millions all
and
over the world.
Were.
Yeah. Yeah, 27, yeah. That's quite late to come to acting. I know you'd study acting.
Well, you know, I was an actor before that,
yeah.
But that is the year that I got the Fonz. So my life as an actor really started then.
Mm.
But I had done theater. I had done repertory theater at Yale. I was a working actor, slightly, and then I got the Fonz.
And learning lines was always a struggle for you, Henry?
Still. Because I have a learning challenge, and so reading was really difficult. But one of the things I talk about is I was told I would never achieve, and I'm here in Ireland on this stage talking to you.
Yeah, 50 years on. It's amazing.
50 years on.
Yeah.
And I still have my knees.
That's important.
Still my knees.
That's important. I was just reading there about you and reading, and one of the books that sort of slightly changed your life was Angela's Ashes by Frank McCourt.
That is the truth.
Why so?
Now, it was hard for me to read it, but I plowed through it, and then I tried listening to it on CD.
Mm.
You know, there was not the Audible at that time. And then I called Frank McCourt. I thought, hey, I'm just going to take a shot. And I got his phone number, and I called the man up, and I said, hi, my name is Henry Winkler. I am an actor. He said, I wasn't born on the other side of the moon. And we had a lovely chat, and I told him how moved I thought his book was, amazing in its portrayal of humanity.
Yeah. How have you figured out a workaround? Because as an actor, you have to learn lines. You have to read lines, and with dyslexia.
But you know what? That is such. Honest to God, Ray, that is a great question. And one of the things I talk about when I have my presentation, you don't know what you can accomplish until you try. Because we as human beings, there's more than one way to do anything.
Mm.
There is not just one way. And it's your way. And if you want something bad enough, then you put the time in to figure out how to beat your system.
And you've managed to do that.
Because I wanted to.
Yeah. I'm going to use this word that you've heard millions of times in your lifetime. That's pretty cool, Henry Winkler.
Well, you know, that's interesting. People say to me, hey, how do I get to be cool? You played cool. How am I cool? And I figured out how you do it.
Go on.
Being authentic, being your true self is cool, and it is magnetic, and it is the answer to that question. Just being your authentic self is the height of cool.
When did you figure that out, Henry?
I figured that out maybe, I don't know, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I was that bowl of Jell-O that before you put it in the refrigerator and it's still shaking all over the place in the bowl before it solidifies. That's who I was most of my life.
That's hard to believe.
It is. It was hard to live.
So you were getting all these calls, getting all these roles over the years, left, right and center. And then when you went home, you had no confidence. Is that the case?
Yes. I could release my imagination in my work, but I was a basket case in my life. There was a guy, maybe I even wrote about him. There was a man, a brilliant producer-writer, Jim Brooks. Mm-hmm. And Jim Brooks wrote The Mary Tyler Moore Show, and that's when I met him. And I thought, in my craziness, in my own head, I thought I offended this man one day. And it was a Friday, and I came home, and deep into the night, my wife couldn't listen anymore to my anxiety. She called every hotel in San Francisco asking for Mr. Brooks. Finally got him on the phone. I said, Jim, I can't sleep. I think I offended you. He said, what are you talking about? Yeah. You never said anything to me that was offensive. I went, oh my God, thank you. And I was able to finally go to sleep.
Do you know they have all these terms now, Henry, like imposter syndrome? It sounds to me like you suffered that for most of your work and life.
I never thought about that. I actually never did. I mean, I'm playing with it in my mind as we're speaking. Mm. I didn't feel like an imposter.
Right.
I just wasn't fully baked.
Right.
I was like the muffin, you know, you put a toothpick in it when you take it out of the oven.
Yes.
And you can feel if it's done or if it has to go back in. I almost always had to go back in.
So what was it? What was it then? Can you put words on it for us?
Therapy.
Oh, yeah. And when did you go to therapy?
About 8 years ago, 9 years ago. And my expression is, if I had to give this woman a gift, I would have to get something as large as a skyscraper.
This is your therapist?
My therapist, yeah.
Right.
Who, the very first day I asked her, I said, hey, have any children? And she looked at me dead in the eye, and she said, how exactly would that help you? I sat back in my chair and never asked another question. I think, 2 weeks ago, I think I found out she doesn't like peanut butter.
Right. Yeah.
That's as deep as I've gone.
And why did you leave it so late in life?
That is a good question, Ray. I've never been asked that. I don't know. It came to me. There was a guy years ago. I went to him for about a year. And then during a session, he said, hey, listen, would you read a script? And I got up, left, and never went back.
All right. Mm.
And then when I was sufficiently discombobulated, I went out and tried to find another one. I found this extraordinary woman, and I've been talking to her ever since.
And do you look back on your life then and say, what if I had met this person, or what if I had written this, whatever is going
Ray,
on in my head?
I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
I say to her, I am so crazed by how much time I wasted.
Yeah. That's most of us, isn't it? That's been human, I think. That's what it's about.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And that's what my speech is about. I'm telling you what my life is, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And people come to me afterwards and they say, oh, my God, when you talked about that, I identify. When you talk about learning jobs, I identify. And hopefully we've laughed the evening away.
Yeah. Henry, do you know what it's like to be you? I know this is an odd question, but people react to you in a certain way. You know,
I don't think about it, Ray.
No.
I just accept it.
Right.
I just look them in the eye, and I am grateful that they are sharing their warmth with me.
Right.
I have a collection. If I were to have a collection of the warmth I've received from the world, I could not have a space large enough to house it.
The brilliant thing is you don't take it for granted and you appreciate it. And that's,
I do not take it for granted. That is, you know, people say, hey, he's such a nice guy. It's not a matter of being a nice guy. I just don't take anything for granted. I am filled with joy. Two nights ago, Ray, I went to see Bruce Springsteen in concert.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it was crazy good.
Yeah. I was just looking at Michael Palin on the cover of the paper today. He says, you've got to keep doing things. Michael Palin, he's 80.
He's right.
Yeah, you got to keep
right.
doing things.
This idea of retirement, now forced retirement, I guess you can't do anything about. But if you're thinking, oh, I think I'm going to retire, I don't think that's the way to go.
Yeah.
I think you have got to keep your mind and your body and your spirit. I think you've got to keep them lubricated, alive.
Well, the mind, the body, and the spirit of Henry Winkler will be on stage at the National Concert Hall on June 12th. Henry Winkler, the Fonz and beyond. I'd love if you came into us then, but we'll see. I'm in Spain. We'll see the soda bread. We'll see what happens anyway. We'll see what happens. Henry, it's been a real pleasure talking to you.
You're going to send me olives, right?
Yeah, I'm going to send you olives from Spain, fresh olives from Spain, yeah. I have so much more to talk to you about, but we've run out of time. Henry, thank you so much.
All right. Now, if we've run out of time,
yeah,
you want to do this again sometime?
Yes, I do. Is that a date?
Okay, so do I.
Yeah, great.
So do I.
Great. Okay, we talk again, Henry Winkler. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.